ज्ञानतिमिरान्धश्योकेनञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभाभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः पदामयं ददाति स पदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीजूतपदकमलम् श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगुणरघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितां कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगुणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकन्त राधाकन्त नमस्तुते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधिवृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवशादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। मुखं करति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमिश्रम्। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text 34. Hitvā grihan sutan bhogan vaidarbhi मदिरेक्षणा अन्नधावत पंडेशं जुष्णेव रजनीकरं हित्वा गृहान् शतान् भोगान् वैदर्भी मदिरेक्षणा अन्नधावत पंडेशं जुष्णेव रजनीकरं हित्वा गृहान् शतान् भोगान् वैदर्भी मदिरेक्षणा अन्नधावत पंडेशं जुष्णेव रजनीकरं हित्वा गृहान् श्रुतान् भोगान् वैदर्भी मदिरेक्षणा अन्नधावत पंडेशं जुष्णेव रजनीकरं हित्वा गृहान् श्रुतान् भोगान् वैदर्भी मदिरेक्षणा अन्नधावत पंडेशं जुष्णेव रजनीकरं। ಭಂಡೇಶಂ ಯಸ್ನೇವಾರಜನೀಕರಂ ಹಿತ್ವಾ ಗೃಹಾನ್ ಶತಾನ್ ಭೋಗಾನ್ ಮೈನಹೀ ಮದಿರೇಕ್ಷಣಾ ಅನ್ನಧಾವತ ಪಂಡೇಶಂ ಜಸ್ನೇವಾರಜನೀಕರಂ ಮತಜಿಸ್ ಹಿತ್ವಾ ಗೃಹಾನ್ ಶತಾನ್ ಭೋಗಾನ್ ಮೈದರ್ಭೀ ಮದಿರೇಕ್ಷಣಾ ಅನ್ನಧಾವತ ಪಂಡೇಶಂ ಜಸ್ನೇವಾರಜನೀಕರಂ ಹಿತ್ವಾ ಗೃಹಾನ್ ಶುತಾನ್ ಭೋಗಾನ್ ವೈದರ್ಭೀ ಮದಿರೇಕ್ಷಣಾ ಅನ್ನಧಾವತ ಪಂಡೇಶಂ ಜಸ್ನೇವಾರಜನೀಕರಂ ವರ್ಡ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಹಿತ್ವಾ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಅಪ್ ಗೃಹಾನ್ ಹೋಮ್ ಶುತಾನ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಭೋಗಾನ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿನೆಸ್ ಬೈದರ್ಭಿ ದ ಡಾಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಿಂಗ್ ವಿದರ್ಭ ಮದಿರ ಇಕ್ಷಣ ವಿತ್ ಎನ್ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಆಯ್ಸ್ ಅನ್ನಧಾವತ ಫಾಲೋಡ್ ಪಂಡೇಶಂ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಮಲಯಧ್ವಜ ಜಸ್ನ ಈವ ಲೈಕ್ ದ ಮೂನ್ ಶೈನ್ ರಜನೀಕರಂ ದ ಮೂನ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾತ್ ಜಾಯ್ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾತ್ ಕಿ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಎಸ್ ದ ಮೂನ್ ಶೈನ್ ಫಾಲೋಸ್ ದ ಮೂನ್ ಎಟ್ ನೈಟ್ ಇಮಿಡಿಯೇಟ್ಲಿ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಮಲಯಧ್ವಜ ಡಿಪಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಕುಲಾಚಲ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೋಟೆಡ್ ವೈಫ್ whose eyes were very enchanting, followed him, giving up all homely happiness, despite family and children. Purport. Just as in the Vanaprastha stage, the wife follows the husband, similarly, when the spiritual master retires for Nirchan Bhajan, some of his advanced devotees follow him and engage in his personal service. In other words, those who are very fond of family life should come forward in the service of the spiritual master and abandon so-called happiness afforded by society, friendship and love. A verse by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Gurvashtaka is significant in this regard. Yashva Prasadat Bhagavat Prasad. A disciple should always remember that by serving the spiritual master, he can easily advance in Krishna consciousness. All the scriptures recommend that it is by pleasing the spiritual master and serving him directly that one can attain the highest perfectional stage of devotional service. The word madirekshana is also significant in this verse. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained in his Sandarbha that the word madira means intoxicating. If one's eyes becomes intoxicated upon seeing the deity, he may be called madirekshana. Queen Vaidarbhi's eyes are very enchanting. Just as one's eyes are madirekshana when engaged in seeing the temple deity. Unless one is an advanced devotee, he cannot fix his eyes on the deity in the temple. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Sharupo Damodara Swami Niti Namine Namashat Bhakta Mane Manipurodva Bhayacha Prabhu Padala Sadbani Pracharo Nirapaya. So Narad Muni is narrating the story of Puranjana, that next life Puranya became a woman. He became the daughter of King Vidarbha and her name was Vaidarbhi. And in next life, King Puranjana, he married King Malayadhwaja. I mean, in next life, as a woman, she married King Malayadhwaja. So this is the external narration, but there is an internal meaning. The whole story of King Puranjana is like this. There is one external meaning, side by side, there is an internal meaning. So the internal meaning is explained by the acharyas and Srila Prabhupada has summarized. So in this sloka, we see that when King Malayadhwaja, he took vanaprastha, he retired from his family life and went to the forest called Kulachala. So his devoted wife, Vaidarbhi, also followed him. So Srila Prabhupada explained that here Malayadhwaja represents spiritual master and Vaidarbhi represents disciple, devoted disciples. So when Malayadhwaja went to forest for vanaprastha, Vaidarbhi, his wife, or in another sense disciple, followed him to serve him. So Prabhupada explains that when a pure devotee, a guru, he retires from active preaching and he starts his nirjan bhajan. Nirjan bhajan means chanting and, I mean, for he is engaged in his personal devotional life. He withdraws from his active preaching field, he withdraws himself and he starts his own journey. So that is nirjan bhajan. Prabhupada said in the beginning, it is not, we should not try to imitate this nirjan bhajan stage, because it is meant for the highest paramhansa, those who have already become successful, completely successful, who has realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only for them, after preaching whole life, at the end of life, they can take so-called retirement. There is no retirement in devotional life. Just like we see when Srila Prabhupada took his so-called retirement in Vrindavan, just before leaving his body, many advanced devotees, those who are very intimate to Srila Prabhupada, they got chance to serve Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada is giving these hints that when a guru retires from active preaching, it is the duty of advanced devotees and disciples to follow guru, to serve him in his nirjan bhajan. So in this regard, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned a very famous sloka by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that is, sing every day in Mangalarati. Jishya prasadat bhagavat prasad. Jishya prasadan nagati kutopi. Jishya prasadat bhagavat prasadu. Jishya aprasadan nagati kutopi. By whose mercy we receive the mercy of God. And jishya aprasadat, if he is displeased, if guru is displeased, nagati kutopi, there is no shelter anywhere. We don't get any shelter anywhere when guru is displeased. Krishna cannot give shelter. Nobody can give shelter when guru is displeased. And when guru is pleased, then very easily we can achieve success in our devotional life. This is the only key in devotional life. Only key of success, just to please guru. So there are many instances in scriptures, in history of devotional life, that how many devotees, by pleasing guru, how they became successful. There are also negative examples, how by displeasing guru, the devotees, they spoiled their
a devotional life. Of course, the positive examples are more, the positive instances are given more in scriptures, but there are also negative instances found in the scriptures. How by displeasing Guru, the devotees, they have spoiled their devotional life. In Mahabharata, we find the examples of many disciples. There are two famous stories in Mahabharata, stories of Uttanka and stories of Aruni. Uttanka was forbidden to take solid food. It was actually a test by Guru, because in those days Gurus were very qualified, in other yugas, they really achieved so much power and uncommon, they were completely very much powerful, and the disciples had full faith and confidence. So when Guru told that you cannot eat anything without my permission, so Uttanka, he stopped eating. But because he could not tolerate his hunger, when he was grazing cows in the forest, he was trying to drink some milk from the cows. Unboiled raw milk he was drinking directly from the cows. So somehow or other he was maintaining his health, and Guru could understand that he is drinking or eating secretly. So then Guru asked him, how come you are maintaining your health? So then he revealed, Guru Maharaj, because I cannot tolerate my hunger, so I drink cow's milk. No, I did not give you permission or order to drink cow's milk. So then he stopped drinking cow's milk also. But hunger is hunger. So when he got very hungry, he saw that the calves were drinking milk and some foams were coming, So he found some foams around the calf's mouth, and he started to collect those foams because he had to graze so many cows. And simply by collecting these foams, he was trying to swallow those foams, and he was trying to maintain satisfy his hunger. So then also Guru Varna told, I think still now you are eating something. So he revealed, actually I am not directly drinking the cow's milk, but I am taking some foams. No, you are not allowed to drink even foam. So Guru was so strict externally, but internally he was testing his disciple. So then at last the boy, he could not eat anything. Then one day he was so hungry that he started to eat some unknown leaves, which are actually poisonous leaves. And by eating those leaves, he became blind and he fell into a well. So externally Guru is so cruel, but internally he is really merciful. Then Guru came and he gave him his eyesight, and he revealed all the secret of scriptures to his disciples, and he blessed him completely. This is the story found in Mahabharata. Also there is a story of Aruni. Aruni was ordered to go to a field, paddy field. In those days, people are depending on agriculture. Even Gurukulas are depending on agriculture. So Guru sent his disciple, because he heard that from one field to another field water was flowing, the border was broken. So Guru told his disciple, you please go and block the water, because water is needed to nourish the paddy. So Aruni, he went to block the water, but water was so forceful, the stream was so powerful, that he tried in many ways, putting some mud, but he failed. He could not stop water flowing. So at last, Aruni, who was a simple village boy, he lied down on the border of these two paddy fields in the margin. He lied down, and in this way he blocked the water. So the time was passing and it became evening, and the Guru found that his disciple Aruni did not return. So the Guru, being worried for his disciple, he came to the field, and when he was looking for his disciple, At last he found that he is sleeping on the paddy field. So Guru became very much pleased by his simplicity, by his dedication. And then he blessed him. And all the secret confidential knowledge, the wisdom of Vedic literatures revealed within his heart. Jasya devi para bhakti yatha devi tatha guru tashyate hi kathita hi artha prakashante mahatmano. When Guru is pleased, all the secrets of revealed scriptures is automatically revealed within the heart of a disciple. So this is the secret. In Chaitanya Charitamrita there is a very nice narration of two disciples, Ishwarapuri and Ramchandrapuri. Opposite, both are opposite. Ishwarapuri was completely devoted to his guru Madhavendrapuri. When Madhavendrapuri was ready to leave his body, he was crying for Krishna, that I could not achieve Krishna. He was feeling separation, mood of Vipralamba. Madhavendrapuri was crying and crying that still now I could not achieve Krishna. Krishna has gone to Mathura. I could not achieve Mathura. I could not achieve Krishna. So Madhavendrapuri was crying. And Ishwarapuri, he was trying to give him solace and reading from scriptures. And he was also helping Ishwarapuri Madhavendrapuri, because he was at that time the body was more or less invalid, and he was passing stool before leaving his body. And Ishwarapuri was cleaning all the stool of his guru with his own hand. So Madhavendrapuri was very much pleased with the service. He was, with a smiling face, he was serving Guru. With a smiling face, he was cleaning the stool of Guru, stool and urine of Guru. He was washing the cloth and massaging the body. He was serving Madhavendrapuri like anything, 24 hours. So Madhavendrapuri became very much pleased and he embraced Ishwarapuri. He was so much pleased and he blessed him that he will achieve Krishna prem. So because he served his Guru so much and he satisfied his Guru so much, that as a blessing of his Guru, he became the Guru of God. He became Guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was God himself. By pleasing his Guru Madhavendrapuri, he became qualified to become Guru of God. Ramchandrapuri, he was diametrically opposite. Although he took initiation from Madhavendrapuri, but he became Mayavadi, he became impersonalist. And when Madhavendrapuri was going to leave his body, he came near his Guru. Instead of serving Guru, he was telling his Guru, "Why are you crying? Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma No Shochati Nakangshati." Those who are self-realized, they never cry. So in this way, he was instructing his Guru. He was not afraid that, how can I instruct my Guru? Why are you crying? It doesn't befit you, because you are a Brahma Bhuta. Actually, he himself was Brahmavadi, impersonalist. So instead of speaking about Krishna, he was speaking about Brahman. And he was instructing him that Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma No Shochati Nakangshati. Those who are Brahman realized, they never lament, never hanker for anything. So why are you lamenting? So Ramchandrapuri could not understand the mood of Madhavendrapuri, that he was actually lamenting in a mood of separation. So Madhavendrapuri became upset and he told, "Now I am going to leave my body, and if I leave my body by seeing your face, I will be degraded completely. You just get out from here." So in this way, Madhavendrapuri was dissatisfied on Ramchandrapuri. So he offended his Guru, and the offense reached up to God. Just like Ishwarapuri's service reached up to God, the service to his Guru Madhavendrapuri reached up to service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to serve God. So similarly, the offense he did to his Guru reached up to God. Then he came one day to Puri, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living, Ramchandra Puri came, and he had a very funny character. I mean, he used to invite, or sometimes take invitation, or sometimes without invitation also, he will go to different houses for eating. So because he was god brother of Ishwar Puri, so everybody honored him. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also externally honored him, considering him to be equal level of guru. But because of his nature, you know, he had the nature of fault finding. Jagadananda Pandit invited him, and Jagadananda Prabhu Pandit, you know, fed him sumptuously. And after that, whatever remnant was left, Ramchandra Puri ordered Jagadananda Pandit to eat that remnant. So Jagadananda Pandit was eating, but Ramchandra Puri was forcing, eat more. So after washing hands, after finishing his meal, see, he started criticizing that, why you have served me so much prasadam? You are spoiling my Shanna's life. And why you are eating so much? You are a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I heard that follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they eat so much. Now today I see directly that really you are disqualified. So in this way he was criticizing, he himself ate so much, and he was criticizing why you fed me so much. And he was criticizing Jagadananda Pandit also, why you eat so much. So in this way he was critical, I mean, from all corner. And he was all the time criticizing. He was telling it to everybody, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a bharasa's eater, he eats so much, although he could not find him eating so much. One day he entered into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's room, and he found that some ants are crawling, and he immediately told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without shame, I think you are eating sweetmeats. You are a sannyasi, you should control your tongue. Why you are eating so much sweetmeats? You see, so many ants are crawling in your room. So imaginary criticism. So those who have this fault-finding nature, they like to imagine, they like to speculate. Even if there is no fault, he could not find any fault with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he found some imaginary, speculative, faults. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as God, God is God. So he showed his response was very magnanimous. He accepted positively, yes, as a sannyasi, I should control my eating. So he immediately called Govinda and told that from tomorrow you give me, I think, 1/4 or half of the meal. So this news was spread like anything, and everybody became upset, and they were angry on Ramchandra Puri. After this man came, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not, practically speaking, is fasting. And by seeing his fasting, all other devotees, they also started fasting. So then many devotees requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why are you angry on this Ramchandra Puri? He has this fault-finding nature. Mahaprabhu told, no, I am not angry on him. What he is telling, it is fact. As a sannyasi, we should control our tongue. So Mahaprabhu was taking very seriously. Anyway, so because he was criticizing, and I mean, he dissatisfied his own guru, Madhavendra Puri. So this same dissatisfaction by also like disciplic succession, like parampara, it reached up to God. The satisfaction of guru reaches up to God. The dissatisfaction of guru also reaches up to God. So this narration of Chaitanya Charitamrita is really very, very, illustrative and very instructive. That how simply by pleasing one's guru or displeasing one's guru, we can become successful or unsuccessful in our devotional life. Govinda and Kashishwar, they were disciples of Ishwar Puri. Am I correct? As far as I remember. But because they were serving their guru very sincerely, they got chance to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Govinda and Ishwar Puri, after Ishwar Puri left his body, they came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they got chance to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because they were serving their guru very sincerely. So this is very clear how simply by satisfying guru One can satisfy God and one can. This is the key of success. Narottam Das Thakur, he wanted to take initiation from Loknath Goswami, who was not ready to give initiation. But Narottam Das Thakur, somehow or other, he tried to, because he liked Loknath Goswami. He made his mind that somehow or other, I'll take initiation from Loknath Goswami. So when Loknath Goswami, he used to go out, he used to stay under a tree. And when he used to go out, Narottam Das Thakur, he used to clean the place where Loknath Goswami used to pass tool. So Loknath Goswami, next day when he went to pass tool, he saw that his, latrine and urinal area is very clean. So he thought, who did this? So in this way, Narottam Das Thakur, regularly he was cleaning the stool and urine of Loknath Goswami. And Loknath Goswami became very curious because he was doing secretly. Then at last he discovered that Narottam Das Thakur is doing this. So naturally, he became very merciful on Narottam Das Thakur. Then at last he initiated him. So you see, they knew the secret, the main key, how to achieve God. This is the main key. So if we get this golden chance to please our Guru, this is a very, very rare and very golden chance. It is not that always we have to have him direct contact, even by following, because from transcendental level, Guru can see everything. So simply by following his order, it is not that in front of Guru I am serving him and behind him I am okay. No. Under all circumstances, if I follow his general order and special order, then Guru will be pleased. And when Guru is pleased, then automatically Krishna will be pleased. Otherwise, we will have condition like Ramchandra Puri. So many examples are there. Even in Prabhupada's own life, he satisfied his Guru like anything. In his old days, when he was 70 years old, he went to America with so much trouble, with no money practically. It is easy to tell the story of Prabhupada's life, but if you really think seriously and deeply, if you read Prabhupada's life and if you really think actually what it is, really it is really wonderful and it is amazing how Prabhupada sacrificed his life in old days, practically speaking, with only 40 rupees. We tell the story very easily. Even today, even if we get some enough money, nobody wants to go by ship. Everybody wants to go by, Of course, Krishna has given facility. Prabhupada has created facility. But if you think the real fact how Prabhupada went by ship, he got heart attack, so much suffering, but he did not care. He could come back and he could ignore all these things, but he did not care. Let me die. So determined in old days, because his Guru ordered. Whatever order he got from his Guru, print books, preach in the West or in among English-speaking people, print BTG, whatever order he got from Guru, every order he not only fulfilled, he fulfilled with quality service. So in this way, he satisfied his Guru. And some of his godbrothers who did not follow Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, recently one book is published in Bengali, written by some Bodhayan Maharaj, criticizing Srila Prabhupada and criticizing ISKCON. It is distributed in different Gauriya Math. So one book by chance came to me. They had criticized Srila Prabhupada like anything, criticized ISKCON like anything, fault finding like Ramchandra Puri. So why they have this fault finding nature? Because they deserve it. They deserve it, Guru. whatever order Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given, Prabhupada explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, point to point by point, how they deserved their Guru. And what is the result? Now, they cannot see the quality of Prabhupada. Prabhupada is an ocean of quality, but they cannot see any quality. They see, why Prabhupada used the name Prabhupada? I was reading in that book. Why Srila Prabhupada used the name Prabhupada? Because his guru was Prabhupada and he took the name, title from his guru. So they cannot see the quality of Prabhupada. Even six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they were all called Prabhupada together. Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada, Jiva Goswami Prabhupada. Is it not? If you read Vaishnava history, you will find Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada, Jiva Goswami Prabhupada. So these three Prabhupada are staying together, there is no fault. It is accepted by Gauriyamat. But when our Prabhupada, he himself never called him Prabhupada, his disciple asked one day, how should I call you? So then he told, there are different names, but Swamiji name is generally given by the impersonalist, they call Swamiji. But in Vaishnava style, we say Vishnupad, Prabhupada, like this. So they choose Prabhupada, and Prabhupada never protested, because disciple has full right to glorify their guru. So then they found this, they magnified this, this is a great fault that he is calling him Prabhupada. Prabhupada never called himself Prabhupada. The disciples gave him the name and he accepted it. And there is nothing wrong, neither historically nor scripturally. There is nothing wrong to accept this title. Because in Vaishnava history we see Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Jiva Goswami, they are all called Prabhupada. All of them are addressed as Prabhupada. So there is nothing wrong, but because they have achieved this nature of Ramchandra Puri, by criticizing, by disobeying their guru. So like this, I was reading the whole book, I found only jealousy and jealousy and jealousy, nothing else. And they tried to capture some disciples by utilizing this jealousy. And those who take initiation from them, they also inherit this jealousy. So I think it is our duty to, it is said that if somebody criticizes you, you should remain silent. But if somebody criticizes Prabhupada, if somebody criticizes ISKCON, Vaishnavas, we should not remain silent. Of course, I tried to write an answer and I gave it to the printer to print an answer to this book. It is a booklet. And the printer had good friendship with that Bodhan Maharaj. And Bodhan Maharaj, he phoned Bodhan Maharaj that they are writing some answer to this book. And immediately Bodhan Maharaj at that time, he was in America and he was staying in ISKCON temple. So he became a little nervous and he told, don't print this book. Because they know that if I go to West, I have to take shelter of ISKCON centers. Because they don't have so many. So anyway, still now I told him, why don't you print this book? He told, it is lost, there are so many excuses. But I have kept a copy. I don't know if authority permits, we can try to protest this. But I personally cannot tolerate all these things. Prabhupada has done a revolution, wonderful thing. But because they are, they have offended their guru, that's why they cannot find any good quality of Prabhupada. They are just trying to, magnify imaginary faults, not real fault. Prabhupada has no fault, completely faultless. Otherwise, how Krishna bestowed his so much mercy on Prabhupada? How Prabhupada became so much successful? It is really wonderful how an old man within, practically speaking, 8 years, how he can create such a society like ISKCON, really beyond imagination. But they cannot see that. So this is the proof that how dissatisfying guru one can become degraded, and how by satisfying guru one can become completely successful. So time is almost over. I was thinking to tell few words on Damodar, because his Damodar month is going on. So, 5 minutes I can tell. I was reading a book published by His Holiness Purushottam Maharaj. The book is called Damodar. A very nice book. So, he was describing from different scriptures and from different acharyas, he collected some, you know, pastimes of Damodar when Krishna was, I think, around 4 or 5 years old when he performed this Damodara pastime. I don't know exactly, around 4 or 5 years. So one day he entered into a gopi's house with his battalion. I mean, he had his battalion to steal butter. At that time, gopi was absent. She went to Jamuna to fetch water. So Krishna, he was enjoying butter with his friends. Suddenly that gopi came, and all the friends, they started to run. But the gopi, somehow or other, she became successful in capturing Krishna. Somehow or other, of course, Krishna had permission. Without Krishna's permission, nobody can capture Krishna. So then gopi told, see, many days we complain to your mother that you are stealing butter, but your mother never believes. So today, I captured you red-handed. So I'll prove that you are really a professional thief. So she started pulling Krishna by force. And Krishna, he was very much afraid of his mother. So he told, no, you cannot take me to my mother. But gopi told, no, because your mother offended us, because she always blamed that we tell lie. She makes us liar. So today we will prove that we are not liar. So by force she took Krishna to mother Yashoda. And she started shouting, oh Yashoda, come and see. You are telling that we all the time we tell lie. But you see, today I have caught your son red-handed. He was stealing butter in my own house and I caught myself. So in the meantime, Krishna transformed himself into the son of that gopi. Became fair complexioned, you know. Fair complexioned boy, because that gopi's son was fair complexioned. So mother Yashoda came and asked, why are you shouting? And you see your son Krishna was stealing butter today in my house. So Yashoda looked, oh, this is not my son, this is your son. You see my son playing in the baranda. And really Krishna was playing in the baranda, you know, corridor. He was playing. See, my son is playing here. What a surprise. What you are telling? So gopi got really surprised. How this boy, I caught Krishna, and how he became like this? So then gopi could not understand anything. She was very simple-hearted. And she told, maybe, I don't know, how it happened, I don't know. So then she took her son and she asked forgiveness. Please forgive, I could not understand how it happened. So she took her son on her shoulder and she started to return. And on the way, when she was returning, then Krishna started playing, you know, on her head. Then Krishna told, look. So the gopi looked. She saw Krishna. Krishna sitting on the shoulder. I mean, Krishna again transformed his form as Krishna, original form, you know. So gopi got completely stunned, you know, and she put Krishna down and she also sat down. And she couldn't understand anything. Hey, what happened? And Krishna told, be careful. Will you go to my mother again to complain? Today I have become your son, but next time, if you capture me again, I will become your husband. So in this way, gopi understood, oh, it's very difficult. I cannot control this boy. So another day, another gopi captured Krishna while stealing butter. Krishna was stealing butter and gopi captured another gopi. So that gopi heard that this boy one day was captured by another gopi and he became the son of that gopi and he threatened that he will become husband of that gopi. So that gopi became more alert. So she thought, I will not take you to mother Yashoda. I will bind you in my own house so that mother Yashoda will come to rescue you. I will not take you to mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda will come to take you. I will bind you with the pillar. So the gopi took so many ropes and she was trying to bind Krishna. But she was trying and trying and trying, but she could not bind Krishna. Then Krishna was smiling. So Krishna told, actually you don't know how to bind me. You don't know how to bind me. The gopi told, how to bind you? I can teach you. Krishna told, I can teach you. Okay, show me. Okay, you stand. So the gopi was standing near the pillar and Krishna took the rope. Krishna took the rope like this, you know, he was showing. Krishna was showing to gopi how to bind him, you know. Then suddenly Krishna started moving like, you know, with an electricity force, you know. And very quickly he bound that gopi, you know, completely bound up. Then Krishna told, okay, now you stay here, I go. Bye. So Krishna left. After some time, the gopi's husband came. Hey, what happened to you? Who bound you like this? Oh, that small boy, that Krishna. Oh, how come? He's a small boy and you are an adult lady. How a small boy can bind you? So in this way, they understood that it's not possible to bind Krishna. What to speak of these ladies? Even Duryodhana, who was a powerful emperor, could not bind Krishna. But mother Yashoda could bind. The secret is that, you know, the secret is, everybody knows, love. Secret is love. So when Krishna, you know, one day, you know the story, but we can repeat. Krishna was drinking Mother Yashoda's breast milk, and Mother Yashoda was boiling milk, because Mother Yashoda used to think that my breast milk is not enough for Krishna. So she had some selected cows, and she used to boil that milk personally. And the milk, it is described by the acharyas, the milk was also devotee, because in spiritual world, everything is spiritual. So the milk was thinking, Krishna is drinking Mother Yashoda's milk, but what is the use of my life? So better I commit suicide. So the milk, you know, it was dropping in fire to commit suicide. So Mother Yashoda thought that my breast milk is not enough for Krishna. I should save this milk. So she immediately put Krishna down and she came to save that milk, and Krishna got angry. So in angry mood, Krishna broke the one, you know, pot of yogurt, and then he understood, I have done something wrong and mother will come and scold me. So Krishna immediately, he ran to the next room and he found some old butter and he started to eat that butter, and he was sharing butter with monkeys. Actually he was, Krishna was thinking that I'll take this old butter and I'll spoil my health, because my mother did not take care of me. So by eating this old butter I'll get sick, then my mother will understand. She'll get some punishment. It's, you know, mood of love. So then mother came and somehow or other found Krishna, and she was running behind Krishna. I'm just making brief. And at last, when Krishna saw that my mother is very tired, Krishna permitted, okay, you can catch me, but naturally. So then Mother Yashoda captured Krishna. Then she started scolding, you rascal, you are, you know, eating butter with monkeys. So you are qualified to become monkey. You go to forest and stay with monkey. So then Mother Yashoda again thought, oh, I told him to go to forest, maybe because he's a simple-hearted boy, maybe he'll go to forest and some tigers will eat him. So then she thought, no, it is not good. And she saw that Krishna was crying and crying. So Mother Yashoda, she threw her stick, because she thought that if Krishna is crying so much, then it is not good for his health. So then Krishna, other days, you know, when Krishna cries, Mother Yashoda, you know, what is called, you know, wipes out the tears. But that day, Mother Yashoda was not wiping out the tears. So Krishna thought mother forgot. So he himself was wiping out, you know, showing Mother Yashoda, like this, you know, you wipe out my tears. But Mother Yashoda did not, you know, wipe out, you know, I mean, did not respond. So Krishna understood that today's case is very serious, you know. So then he was crying and crying. At last Mother Yashoda, she thought, I have to do my household work. So she collected some ropes and she tried to bind Krishna. But she could not be successful. She was trying and trying. Although Krishna's waist was same, not that it was becoming bigger, but somehow or other, by his inconceivable potency, she could not bind Krishna. The 2 inches rope was shorter. So at last, It is hard that, you know, many gopis, they are also helping. And Radharani was there. She opened one lace from her hair and she gave to Yashoda. And Yashoda tied these. And at last, she became successful in binding Krishna. Then after some time, Balaram came. And Balaram did not know who bind Krishna. Now he became angry. And he told, who bound my brother? They don't know I am God. Balaram became angry. I am Shankarshan, I am Pradyumna, I am Aniruddha, I am the source of all incarnation. Who bound my brother Krishna? I will completely destroy him. So then somebody told, you know, your mother bound. So Balaram became very, small. Oh, my mother bound. He did not understand in the beginning. So then mother came. What kind of incarnation you are? Why all the incarnations are coming in my house? Why I have to accommodate all the incarnations? You wait, I'll bind you also. So then Balaram became very angry and he started running. And Krishna started crying, Balaram started crying. God is helpless. God is helpless. All-powerful God is helpless only in one point. When he is controlled by love. Nothing can control God except love. Because Yashoda mother had so much love that they are completely helpless. Although they are really, he is Pradyumna, Shankarshan, it is fact. Balaram. But both of them started to cry in front of mother Yashoda. They are completely helpless. So I like to stop here. Only few minutes are there. If you have any kind comment or question, please.
You spoke so much about pleasing one's particular guru. Is there any story where a disciple displeased another guru and the consequence, or must one only please his guru and not please other gurus? But there are so many gurus. Can you just please only your guru to have all the secret of the scripture revealed and displease other gurus? What is the consequence of
displease other gurus? Actually, we have to think that everybody is our Shiksha Guru. Others, there is no question of other Guru. Just like if you say, in my house there is a Tulsi plant, and in Kolkata temple I saw a Tulsi plant. And if you think that is their Tulsi plant and this is my Tulsi plant. If you see Radha Madhav in Mayapur, and if you go to Kolkata, this is their Krishna and this is my Krishna. So Guru should not be considered like this, my Guru or their Guru. Guru is one tattva, Guru tattva. So those who are instructing and guiding the disciples, they are all gurus. I have taken initiation from one guru, he is my Diksha Guru, and other gurus are my Shiksha Guru. So they are gurus. I am worshipping here Radha Madhav. That doesn't mean that Radha Govinda in Kolkata temple is different from him. So all gurus are actually, practically speaking, same tattva, same manifestation of same mercy from same God. But due to our immaturity in devotional life, sometimes we think this is my guru, this is his guru, we make politics, we make groups. This is actually very lower condition. But if we are really matured in spiritual life, we'll see they are all Shiksha Guru. I have one Diksha Guru, but they are all Shiksha Guru. Even those who are not guru, you know the story of Avadhut in Bhagavatam. He had 24 gurus, but they were not even neither Diksha Guru, but he accepted them as Shiksha Guru. So even a prostitute, he thought she is my Shiksha Guru. So you can accept anything as Guru if you can get some lesson, positive lesson from somebody. He is your Guru. So instead of criticizing or making groupism, we can try to glorify all the Gurus, all the devotees. Everybody is our, practically speaking, Guru. If you read the story of Avadhut, even animals are considered as guru. So even we say senior devotee, junior devotee, even from so-called junior, you can learn so many things. Okay?
Very good. You were speaking on the bad effects of displeasing one's guru. But my question is it possible if you displease your guru and you do it by mistake?
You displease your guru by mistake.
Yeah, by mistake.
Yeah, then that is way, lamentation, and you know, we have to lament. We have to lament for that. And if our lamentation is enough, you know, if we cry for our mistake, that is possible. They are very merciful. Guru is also very merciful. If we, instead of becoming callous, if we really lament for our mistake, then I think Guru is very merciful. He's like a father. You know? So if our lamentation is sincere, then that can be rectified also. Okay. Any other comment, Maharaj?
So that means Diksha Guru also Siksha Guru. How I respect him as a Diksha Guru? Diksha Guru surely is a Siksha Guru, but how as a disciple? How it look?
Diksha Guru is, it is fact, I am taking Shiksha from Diksha Guru also. So in that sense, Diksha Guru is also my Shiksha Guru. But so, I have taken Diksha from him, so I have a special relation with him.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I did not understand the question properly.
He told Diksha Guru also Shiksha Guru. It is correct, according to Veda. But how in front of me, my Diksha Guru and same time many Siksha Guru, how I can deal with all these things? How I respect?
If all the Gurus are present together.
Present together and I know. Is,
I don't know exactly, because sometimes what happens that Guru may tell you offer them obeisances, then you have to follow. But Diksha Guru is like your central shelter. Sometimes even for Siksha Guru, you have to follow your Diksha Guru. Of course, before taking Diksha, we must grow that much faith that he is really qualified. And whatever he tells, I have full faith. So if my Diksha Guru tells you accept this person as Siksha Guru, then I have full faith. That's why I have taken Diksha from him. So if my Diksha Guru tells, okay, you respect this man very much, you serve them, then I can very easily follow. But generally, if the Siksha Guru has no fault, generally Diksha Guru never protest or never say you don't go to this Siksha Guru. But if you find some fault, just like in the beginning, Prabhupada was allowing his disciples to mix with many Maharajas. But later on when he found that those Maharajas were criticizing Prabhupada and criticizing ISKCON, Prabhupada said, no, you don't go to them. So, sometimes, Diksha Guru has right to control his disciples. But in general, Diksha Guru never stops, that my disciple should not go to other Guru or should not mix with other Guru. But he feels happy because he's collecting knowledge, wisdom from different persons. But you know Maharaj better than me.
No, I know, because I'm a little confused. So, according to, I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur told, because Siksha Guru, he don't have right to correct you. He can give Siksha, but only Diksha Guru can hold you are a rascal, this is your proper place, on the lotus feet of Govinda, this is your place. Like it is example given that Krishna Das, he was hunted by gypsies in Kerala. So then Mahaprabhu Samadhar, he saved him and he brought him and he hand over to, because he was a Nityananda Dadas Mahajan in Goloka, he was a Nityananda Prabhu's follower. Maybe Mahajan. So not Mahajan, that Gopal originally. So he says, hey Nithai, take your Krishna Das, take your Krishna Das. Mahaprabhu saved him. Some other he brought here and he said, take here. Okay, there are so many things. So another thing it is, last week I was in Tamil Nadu, one very special speaker. On the public lecture he told, he said, if somebody is glorifying ISKCON, he'll be glorified.
If somebody
is glorifying ISKCON, so he'll be glorified. So that means he'll be glorified. if somebody is glorifying ISKCON, Avaicharan Swami's movement, so he will be glorified. Okay, Hare Krishna.
There is full cooperation between Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Guru. And this cooperation is there.
No, I'm talking about this Kerala, Tamil Nadu. Oh. He was Sivaishnava family.
Achha.
He was Sivaishnava, but he was glorifying ISKCON. If somebody is glorifying ISKCON, he'll be glorified in his life.
Thank you, Maharaj. Any other comment? Okay. Grantharas Srimad Bhagavatam ki Samabhuta Vishna Bhakta Brinda ki Natai Gaur Pramanandi.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Krishna.